Estate with Wendy Wendorf, Homestead Realty, your podcast about life, listings, and everything real. Mixing real estate with real people, community stories, success, struggles. Here we are. I met this couple because we were talking about selling their house, and their story was so powerful to me that I knew I wanted to have them on the podcast. Welcome, Dennis and Cindy Roos.
Hi.
Like a rooster. So I'm talking about something like really super serious, but I just felt like you guys could help so many people. Addiction. And we always talk about the addict. I want to talk about parents navigating your marriage, having four kids, two of them struggling, two of your boys struggle with addiction in the early 2000s when Washington County didn't think it was real. I mean, there was so much judgment placed on you as parents and how you navigated on that. And in the end, I want to talk about the book. The book was so powerful. You let me take the book after we met, and I read it on a beach, and I just felt like I knew your son, who has passed from addiction. Like, I knew him so much better, and I was almost crying for him. So we're not going to start off like this, Cindy, but maybe you can take it, Dennis. Like, in the early addiction, before you even knew it was addiction, how did that come about? Like, you're just parenting four kids. We're working.
It was right around February, Valentine's Day, and we got a letter in the mail saying our checkbook was overdrawn, and that never happened.
Right.
So we were kind of stumped, and our son was upstairs in his room, and he came down, and he just started crying and told us that he took our checks and wrote out money. And
was he honest?
Yes.
Because the second question is, what are you doing with
this
money?
At that point in time, he was very honest. And you think about taking your child in to a doctor when they don't feel good.
Right.
And they get some medication and they're fixed and everything's better. So you kind of have that mindset. Okay, we'll take you in. We called our doctor. He recommended, at that time, they had a mental health up at the old St. Joseph's Hospital.
Okay.
So we took him up there, and we figured, oh, in 5-6 days,
isn't that crazy?
This will be all better.
And this is the early 2000s.
Yes.
Probably before we acknowledged mental illness, before we got a real handle of what was going on with our youth, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Did you guys, and you know, you don't have to answer this, but it is a podcast, like, you guys didn't struggle with addiction. Was it so foreign to you? Like, you're like, what?
Yeah, it was.
That was, I think, the really hard thing is knowing that Dennis and I never used any kind of drug except a prescription drug, you know. But that was hard. You know, you think of it, does it run in the family, that kind of thing. We did a lot of research.
Yeah.
Rented a lot of videos from the library.
So you were trying from the very beginning, right? He went to the hospital.
Right.
He came out, and then it just gradually gets worse and worse, and then you're going through these patterns. How do you navigate that as a husband and wife, still raising other kids?
It was difficult because we weren't on the same page.
Yeah. You got to get there. Us moms are a little more. Mm-hmm.
She was more stern.
You were,
oh,
Cindy.
Yes,
I see that in you.
And I was more the enabler.
Okay.
I was trying to help. I figured, oh, if I helped, I'd drive him somewhere, give him money,
right,
help him pay. Now, the one thing we never did was bail him out of jail.
Yeah, when I thought that was interesting. Tell me why you never did.
When they go to jail, when they would get picked up, they sat in jail till their time was up. We never bailed them out. And part of that reason was, when they were in jail, we knew they were safe.
Right.
We also knew that was time for them to detox and get out of their system.
Now, your boys, Cindy, when they would go through these patterns of addiction, right, the honeymoon stage, all that, you know all that, was there times where they were sober for 2 years and then they fell off?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
So that's got to even be a
definitely
bigger heartbreak,
yes,
right, for
yes
you as parents.
In Kevin's addiction, he had some really good spots, produced two children.
Yeah.
Grandkids that we just love. And you never, the thing is with the addiction, when he went off the wagon, want to say,
yeah,
the first time, it was a shock to us. Now, the rest of the years, he was an addict for 21 years before he passed. You wait for that other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
You wait for all of a sudden there he is, or you get the phone call that he's in jail or, you know, wherever. So, you know, I mean, we ourselves as the addict lived day to day not knowing what was coming up next.
What do you think saved you guys? You talked about that group.
We started going to it was a family support group. The lady that that ran it at the time, she was an alcoholic. I think she's clean and sober for over 48 years, something like that. And we went to this group thinking that we were going to have all these other families that were going to tell us how to save our children.
Isn't that crazy? Yes.
And instead of saving our children, they reorganized us or got us reorganized to be taking care of ourselves and to living our lives and not letting the addiction control our lives all the time. We missed parties, family get-togethers that we just stopped going to because we didn't want the boys there.
Or you always, like the boys, and you had two of them out of four, they always ran the family. That was the mood of the family.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That was everything. I remember I had a kid that smoked pot in school, and he just wasn't going to do that. We were not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And he did it. And I went to the school because they were, you know, aren't there conferences that these teachers go to? And they said, well, just be glad he's not doing cocaine or taking pills. And I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
So we really struggled, you know, with that. And so I understand a lot of what you're saying. It didn't get to the point, but I think, did church save your life, or is it more the support group?
We were churchgoers to begin with.
And
so
the church was very helpful.
The church was very helpful and very supportive. Do you know, as a parent, you assume that nobody else is going through this.
You're
the only one.
That's exactly why I wanted you on here.
You know, and for months and months, at church, your pastor said to you at the end of church, how are things going? How are things going? Well, after a couple of months, we finally said, you know, Kevin has a problem.
Right.
And this particular pastor set up time for us to go and talk with them.
Yeah, and when we got to the group, that changed everything. And we still go to the group.
I know.
And our problems now aren't what they were then. But I feel we go to the group so that if someone new shows up, I can help them or tell them things.
Because they think they're special for, like, you guys have been programmed. I mean, to say to a mother of four, and nothing against you, Dad, hey, you got to put yourself first. That is so foreign to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Yep.
It's so foreign to us. So it took you a long time to get there, but look at what kind of marriage you have.
Right,
right.
And look what kind of grandkids you have. I mean, you're really bringing... I mean, you've really done an amazing job. It's just wonderful. And your kids that didn't suffer from addiction suffered in other ways. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Well, our daughter at the time, she actually, how should I say it, left the house almost for a summer and hung out with a friend.
Right. And that's okay.
And that was okay. We didn't have a problem with it. We knew the friend. We knew the family. And it was fine. It hurt a little bit that she didn't want to stay home, you know, but I understood. And she told us, I can't be around my brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we understood that, even though we would have liked it differently. But that was because we were addicted to him, to the addictors. It's funny to describe it like that. Because we all have addictive personalities in some way. Maybe it's chocolate. Maybe it's something else, you know. But you focus so hard on the two boys that were addicted that you forget about the other children. Not literally.
And they turned out so great. So the ones that are good, you're just like, well, she's good for right now.
Mm-hmm. They turned out fine.
Yeah.
Right now, they both do well. They both have families.
Are they mad at you?
I don't think so.
Good.
I
think
so.
When you have kids, maybe as young adults, but when you have kids.
There was a time where our oldest son said he would come over and, do we have to talk about my brothers?
Yeah. Gosh, yeah. Thank God he said that. That's boundaries. Because it made you face those conversations, right?
Right. And that was truth that hurt a little, but he was right. He was 100% right. And our meetings helped us understand that the addict can only become clean and sober if they choose to become clean
and
sober.
That's hard.
Yeah. And that is a very hard thing. No matter how, and I would, like I said, I was the enabler.
You were. Okay.
And no matter what I did, it did not change what they did.
Because you spent, I'm not going to say you spent. You spent thousands of dollars with treatments, but you also lost thousands of dollars because these kids became thieves.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? That's part of the addiction.
They do whatever they got to do to get their drug.
So I don't want to talk about the addict sons. I want to talk about Kevin as a kid and as a sober person, as an adult. Because I was super surprised, because like when you see TV or intervention, like at 9 I was smoking weed. He wasn't.
No, he was not.
No, it wasn't until his junior year in high school, I think.
Yeah.
His group of friends changed.
He stopped playing soccer.
Stopped playing sports. Was very withdrawn, I think.
Yeah. It got worse as each year went.
And time has taught us that. When you're in it, again, with the four kids, and you've got another one, you know, that has some problems, you don't see. Now it's like you are the Monday quarterback, right? You can see. Yeah, I can just kind of see. Mm-hmm. Do you think mental illness, now that you're stepped away from it for so long, was part of it? Like maybe you suffered from depression during those years?
I think it could have been.
Looking back on it now, I'd say 100%.
Yeah.
Or let me ask you this question for anybody that's struggling. You know, I'm a person that always needs a reason, right? I think the show's intervention always, like, make me so mad, because then you find out they were molested or this happened or their parents broke up. Mm-hmm. When I talk to you, there's nothing that happened. So then you want to believe something happened. It's like, I need to know what, like, do you think it was depression? What do you think made him the addict? The personality? Or sometimes it's nothing.
I think that we found out once when he was in recovery at Rogers, he had told us something did happen to him when he was, it was in high school, I think.
Younger,
and of course,
maybe.
You know, he wouldn't give names or be specific about it. He touches on it a little bit in his book that we found. So I think that had a lot to do with covering up. I think Kevin always had a problem with, he wasn't feeling happy. That's
right.
Well, his happy. Poems. Can we talk about the poems?
Yes.
I won't be able to talk about that. The poems are the real eye to an addict's heart, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The poems were just so amazing. Yeah. I'm so happy he left the sec guilt. Yeah. I think that could help so many parents, sisters, brothers, or people just in the community, right? I'm lucky. Am I lucky? I'm lucky enough to have addict kids or that in my family. But this book, it's on Amazon. We're going to give a link to it. What happened is when he passed and he found a bunch of poems, his older brother put it in a book.
Right.
We sell it on Amazon and all proceeds go to his kids.
Two children,
This book, the poems, I posted this on Facebook. How long has Kevin been passed?
It was two years in July.
I posted this on Facebook. I did not know Kevin. I posted this on Facebook. The wonderful things that people were saying about Kevin, about his heart. They knew him from school. I mean, what a great thing, right?
Yeah.
That was good for you to see, Cindy. It was so powerful. We're going to give this link at the end. I think every house should have this. This, to me, is like you could see how he was struggling with depression and other things.
Mm-hmm.
He did pass in your house.
He did not. He was down in Milwaukee.
He had went to Milwaukee.
They found him in his vehicle.
In his vehicle on 76th and Silver Spring or something like that.
Can I ask you a really horrible question and will you be honest?
Sure.
Did it give you peace? Because he wasn't at peace.
It did.
It did.
It did. This may sound cruel to other people, but it was a relief.
It was a relief. It gave you peace.
And he was doing well. He was working. And he was a very hard worker because he worked at my shop for a while. And you couldn't find another guy that worked like that. But as drugs would get into back into him, you know, that changed. But at when he was sober and clean, oh man, that guy could work.
And handsome too. Cindy.
Yeah, and he was a good-looking guy, and he had two kids that he loved. Why he went back to use cocaine, because that was not his drug of choice. Heroin was always his drug of choice. But
such
he went
a crazy
back
world.
And used cocaine.
But, I mean, with your faith, you just know that he's in a better place.
Yes.
And he's at peace.
Our,
right?
Our thought was when the police came to the door and knocked in the middle of the night, you know, and I let him in, and the first thing I said was, oh, what did Kevin do?
Yeah, right.
That was the first thing I said. Because he was on, still on probation from past things. And then that's when they told us that he had passed away in Milwaukee. And the first thing that I thought was God finally grabbed him and said, it's over. It's done.
Gosh, that is...
And that gave me peace to think, because we saw videos. Somebody mm-hmm. in the area had taken videos for Facebook with him laying on the concrete with surrounded by a rescue team.
Oh gosh, I'm so sorry you guys saw that.
Yeah, and then my other son's wife got a hold of the person and said, could you please take that off? But seeing him lay there, that's the first thought I had, was God just looked at him and said,
enough is enough.
Are you worried for your other son that's still in addiction? He's praying about it.
He is clean and sober now. He's been clean and sober
for a couple years now, at least
since Kevin has passed. And of course, when there's a troubling situation in his life, you always think of it.
Yeah.
Will it turn him back?
It's a daily struggle for the addict himself. Mm-hmm. Every day he's got to tell himself, I'm going to stay clean today. I'm not going to go down that path. Unfortunately for Kevin, he went down that path.
So I guess
we'll never know what was in Kevin's head that night. Right. All I remember was that he came into my backyard on that Tuesday night. We were going to go over to Port Washington. I asked him to go along. He said, no, Dad, I'm just going to stay home. And he said, all I want is to be happy like you and Mom.
Oh, my gosh.
And those were the last words I ever heard.
And God gave it to him. He's at peace.
And he's at peace. And he got peace.
So let's talk about, I guess, my last question to you. And we're even going to do, like, your favorite poem at the end. And I want everybody to read that, right? My last question to you, and this is why I wanted you on for 100 reasons, is I feel like you could help someone. So someone that where their kids are just starting to smoke pot and they can see it. Someone who just, you know, quit soccer or something's going on. What would you tell that person what would you tell that mom or dad? When should they join the support group?
Well, I think as soon as they know of the addiction.
Which tonight, by the way, there's a group at Stillwater's Church in Jackson.
Yeah, you know what, we'll do that too.
Yeah.
We'll have Drew put down the meetings as well.
Okay.
Okay.
I think the first thing is to realize that it is a problem. You know, like I said, Dennis and I went months and months thinking that our kid was the only kid that was involved in this. Do your research. Get them to counseling, I think, would be like elevate.
Don't be afraid to confront them.
Yeah.
Bring it out to them. Hey, I think you're using something. I think you're on drugs. They'll deny it. Because that's what they do.
But you always know when your kids
lie. That's what they do. And an easy thing to say is, okay, you say you're clean. We're going to get a test kit and check you right now.
Right.
And here's the deal. If you fail that test kit, you're going to rehab. If you pass it, well, good. You're not lying.
I think the other thing that helped me too, it helps me in everyday life because I'm really transparent, right? Everybody knows I talk a lot. Is like talking about it. Like you said, you had gone to church, oh, everything's great. And then 3 months later, like, hey, I need some help. And then you realize that your pastor has or your friends were going through the same thing, you're really good friends mm-hmm. with my friend, Ron. You know, like, you meet these wonderful people that are going through the same thing because you right. have to fix yourself. Right. You have yes. to fix your marriage. Right. You have to put yourself first, right. to put your family first and the addict first.
Right. When we started to say no to Kevin and we had kicked him out of the house, he would always say to us, "You wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for those darn meetings."
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll use the word darn because yeah. I'll keep it clean. Yeah. But he knew that we were learning things on how to make it easier on ourselves and harder for him. An addict is always going to find a way. Yeah, Kevin would say, Kevin would say, "I never sleep at night. I stay awake all night trying to figure out how I get enough money for tomorrow's drugs."
Well, I appreciate you. I've not felt this connection with somebody else in so long. Thank you. We're going to feature the book. We're going to feature the meetings. And we're going to feature Cindy's favorite poem that's in the book about her son. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. This is Real Life Real Estate with Wendy Wendorf. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.